We would like you to cross the threshold with us into stratosphere by doing a very short breathing exercise with us, which you can stand up if you like. Move your arms, take some deep breaths.
Stratosphere is a way to think about networks. And people talk about the mycelial network, the roots of mushrooms, as the wood wide web, because it connects different species of trees regardless of what kind of tree it is. The nutrients can flow because of the mycelium. So I like to use stratosphere as a way to think about natural networks and the way that people can connect, the way that we've grown a group of enthusiasts that can mimic a natural system.
I like to think about stratosphere as a way to learn about everything else. I'm really curious about learning and education, and in particular, situated learning. And so I think mushrooms are this interesting kind of access point towards, I think, giving people a way to connect with some abstract concepts that sustainability sometimes is accompanied with. And it's also been a way for me to connect with this idea of slowness, not just in my creative practice, but also as just being a person in the world. It's given me kind of a model to work with in order to think about time and patterns and systems.
I think about stratosphere as a as what John Cage, who once taught mushroom identification here at the New School, used to say, that we should wake up and experience the very life we're living, and that one way we can do that with mushrooms is to understand them both as a reality and as a metaphor. They were something that were not here yesterday. They're here now. They won't be here tomorrow. And now is the time to celebrate them and us and what we're doing here. And stratosphere is a way to get us to recognize that.
For me, stratosphere is research on a collaborative process from two perspectives. First, being able to shape a collaborative process, put the ingredients in play and observe it from the outside. But second, to be part of a collaborative team actually designing that research, and then having the feedback loop of being able to take what we're observing, what we're learning, and actually applying it to improve our own team dynamic.
For me, stratosphere has been a reason to make dances, to have a specific theme, such as mushrooms, to learn from. Mushrooms are a material that are eating oil spills right now. They're making flame-proof insulation for housing. They're nourishing our bodies. They're showing us that trees are healthy. There's so many reasons to research mushrooms. And for me, learning about mushrooms and stratosphere has really made me present in the process of dancing and making works, because they're
What do you think John Cage would talk about today here in the new school? Do you think, Carrie?
Well, he probably would want to know how many of you would like to go out and hunt mushrooms in the parks. It's maybe a little early in the season, and that's why tomorrow we're going to do this in Chinatown. But he was someone who taught here mostly so he could find people to go with into the woods. To do what he liked doing best, which was to hunt mushrooms. And he didn't just do them because he was crazy about mushrooms. He did them in a way that, he said, allowed him both to get away from his work and to allow him to really focus on something that was very important. Because you don't want to make a mistake if you are picking mushrooms to eat. And since he took his friends with him, Jasper Johns and Bob Rosenberg, he didn't want to be responsible for wiping out the arts community in New York City.
Caroline, what do you see as the connection between mushrooms and the arts?
Yesterday I was talking to someone about what art is, this woman, Amy Whitaker, and she said that she sees art as a process where you can apply any content, but it's a way to move through the world where you have some sense of a horizon, say something like a lighthouse, and it is a plan that allows you to move. So in the same way, when you go on a mushroom hunt, you have a sense that you are looking for something, and it's a mushroom, there's a set of criteria that could produce this thing, just as taking a set of actions in the studio might produce something. But all the meanwhile, you're realizing that you're not so focused on one result, and anything that comes along the way is a surprise that'll help you discover something new. So you're always open to whatever might happen, and I think this is why a lot of artists have become interested in mushrooms.
Athena, where did you get the idea for the presentation, the dance last fall, at Judson Memorial, where you were cooking mushrooms on stage and the dancers would come over at one point as waiters to pick up the cooked mushrooms to dance around to the audience to offer hors d'oeuvres to the audience while Kate and I were sitting and discussing mushrooms?
We had broken down our project into a framework of above, middle, and below. Above being spores, weather, magic of chance. Middle being work, and below being history, the unseen. And the trees have a relationship to mushrooms. Below trees, there's a whole mycorrhizal network. And the northwest corner of Washington Square Park, there was a very large elm tree. And that made me think of the, I was researching Washington Square Park's history, and down the street on 137 McDougal used to be this anarchist restaurant run by this woman, Paula Holiday, where people would come, and the liberal club was right above it. And how studying mushrooms and researching that specific space led us, I'm losing my train of thought, how it led us to create that dance, to think about a modern restaurant happening.
What do you think about space and design in the context of mushroom cave?
Mushrooms are such a fascinating structure. How they exist, most of the mushroom exists underground, actually, like an iceberg. But in particular, pertaining to stratospore, I think the notion of dance and the body in space has really influenced my perception of space and my practice as an architect in terms of understanding scale and proportion and simply like, you know, solid void body. Yeah. Chris, how has stratospore influence your perception of the notion of sustainability?
I think like what Mary Miss was saying, I think it's given me kind of a material, it's made it sustainability more visceral. I think it's like this very strong metaphor. So instead of talking about sustainability as an abstract concept, there's I guess an exact kind of example to go to that has many different entry points. You know, the idea of the rhizome, the idea of mushrooms being kind of this pioneering new kind of trend in many applications, ranging from insulation to creating a way to remediate soils and other substrates. I think it's just given me a new way to look at, I think, the science of sustainability, but also how to provide a platform for education about sustainability that's more tactile and kind of brings in also this element of mystery and chance. Like Gary was saying, you just don't know if you're gonna find a mushroom when you're going on a hunt. And that to me is really magical, especially when you're talking to kids or to various audiences, this idea of chance and mystery.
Can you add to that what you developed in terms of partnerships?
Well, right now we're working with Columbia's Urban Landscape Lab to create this open source mapping tool that will be available online for people to share with us the mushrooms they find around the city. And we're working with NYU's ITP lab, who have developed a program called NOAA, which is, stands for Networked Organisms and Their Habitats. And this allows anybody around the world to use their iPhone or the internet to upload kind of a plant species, an insect, or an animal that they find in their area, and it goes to this big kind of open source map that anybody can access. So we're creating kind of a more specific portal for mushrooms in New York City, and we're working with about 10 or 15 people that are associated with Stratospore and Columbia and other different organizations. And I think it's going to be this really amazing fusion, this kind of like layers of how mushrooms become a biological indicator for New York City's health, and also connecting all the different kind of communities that we've come across during our project, you know, the New York Mycological Society, artist groups, and also education organizations.
And this is something that you can all participate in because it will be available to everyone. And if there are 12,000 oak trees in Central Park, those oak trees all have mushrooms, the vegetative part, attached to their roots in a symbiotic relationship. And by finding out what these mushrooms are and where they are, we are finding out the relationships that the trees have developed independent of the park horticulturists, the rangers, and everyone taking care of the park. These are things that are significant helpers of our city trees. And Central Park is just one example. All of our parks have trees, and many of the trees have these symbiotic relationships, and we are actually starting a map of the mushrooms in connection with the trees in New York City, and doing it park by park, borough by borough. So you're welcome to participate in this and to see what we're doing, because we are doing this online.
What do you think is going to happen at CMU at the end?
I'm not exactly sure, but we were asked. We do have a plan to go to CMU and work with this Future Stages department that involves eco artists, dramaturg students, writers, artists, and we're going to be leading them in some workshops that sensitize their bodies to the spaces around Pittsburgh, the history there, and language. We're going to think about language out besides just verbal language, but how kinetic language can help them collaborate in a way.
And if you are interested, tomorrow we're going to test out one of the workshops we're doing in Pittsburgh at CMU. So hopefully we'll see some of you there.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.